Good morning and welcome to Mornings with Box 2 Radio, a broadcast that is centered around news and views, Bible Q&A, and special guests. Now get ready because it's time to scramble those eggs, brew that coffee, and open that Bible, and let's jump into Mornings with Box 2 Radio.
Well, good morning out there in radio land. This is April the 19th, 2023. If you've not done your taxes yet, you are breaking the law and you missed tax day yesterday. Very significant day. But no, God is good. It's only the only April the 19th, 2023 you will ever have in the history of your life. So we might as well make the most of it for the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
Miss Hannah, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. I was listening to the intro, and you know, the only thing I forgot was to brew that coffee. So if anyone wants to bring me a coffee up here to the radio station, feel free. Feel free.
That's that's significant for you, right?
I know. Yeah, it is.
Oh my goodness. I'm not a coffee drinker yet. I don't know if I ever will be. I do like the smell of it, but I don't like the taste of it. And I'm not paying $7 a cup of coffee.
Have you had like the sugary sweet stuff?
I don't know.
Like the frappes with the whipped cream and
if
all.
If I can't spell it, I ain't drinking it.
Well, it's basically like a milkshake, and I feel like you'd probably like that because you can hardly taste the coffee at all.
I guess I would try it. Maybe it's not green, so at least I may give it a shot if it's not green.
It's not green.
Green stuff, I don't even try. Like it's just there's no relationship there whatsoever. But I may need coffee one of these days. I don't know how much this body will hang on for going. So might need some coffee eventually.
Yeah. As you get older.
I don't know how much more Mountain Dew and Doritos are going to keep pushing me through. I might need something a little bit stronger. Amen. We have Jacob Swift's going to be in here in a little while. He said he got caught behind a bus or something like that. And so I said, well, I was getting ready to text him, you're fired, but you can't fire volunteers. I'm just kidding, Jacob. I'm sure you're listening. I ain't going to fire you as long as you bring me a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit. I mean, a sausage, egg,
and a coffee.
And a coffee. But, no, God is good. We're excited for this morning. I'm going to have a good morning of discussion. We're going to try to get into John chapter 7 today. We just kind of went with the flow yesterday and didn't really make it in there too much, but we're going to strive hard to get it done and in there this morning. If I sound a little bit more funny than I usually do, I do have a busted lip that's kind of like swollen on the right side because nobody hit me this time, but a bungee cord did. So I was trying to wrap a bungee cord around a tarp yesterday, and it popped me right in the mouth. At first I thought I lost my tooth. And I was like, oh, that's going to be good. But then I didn't. Praise the Lord. I still have all my teeth that I had, and I do have a busted lip, so I may sound a little bit funny, and I apologize for that. But at least I sound better than I did that one day I was sick, and Jason Miller and my mom both texted me and said, you sound like death warmed over. So that's very kind of you guys. I'm glad for the positivity and the encouragement. I don't know why.
Well, we have new mics now, so hopefully, you know, some of that will filter out.
Yeah.
The heavy breathing and the coughing and all that. So.
We're still EQing a little bit and stuff, but we do like the newer mics. They are much better on our end, and we've heard a couple people already complimented them and say you can't hear us breathing as much and moving around as much, which those condenser mics are notorious for. They will catch everything. One listener said, what Joey wants to know, what did I say that made God bust me? I really don't know. I don't know why that bungee cord the Lord allowed it to happen. I haven't figured out his plan on this yet, but it's probably something I did. I probably did something.
If he said something to his daughter Eliza, it was probably because she prayed for
probably
it.
Eliza.
Her prayers have some weight.
Every time Eliza prays for something, it comes to pass. Hey, Jesus, can I have a baby sister? The next day we get one on the side of the road, literally in Louisville. And then, like, it's just like every time she prays for something, and it's just pop, there it is. So either the girl has extreme prayer life or favor, or I don't know. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but if she starts praying for something, it usually starts happening.
Watch out.
And so just don't tell Eliza to pray for something unless you really want it to happen. Now, I do sick her on people. I don't know if that's good or not, but like, Lord, that person needs to be married. They're young. They need to have a marriage. They need to have a healthy life. Eliza, pray for them a spouse.
She'd do it.
Joey wants I sent Joey one of my favorite songs last night. It's kind of comparable to Jason Miller's favorite song. What was that one song that he likes? The city. Let's see here. Looking for a City, by I think James Knapp. It's his favorite song ever. Well, one of mine is a song called, and I'm not playing it on the air today. I may one day, but if you want to go look at it, it's called Sunseed. It's probably from the 1960s or maybe even the 50s. And then it's called Jesus Is My Friend. And it's one of my favorite songs. I can listen to it all day. And it's just great. And I shared it with Joey last night. And he said, you should play that as your entrance song. And I said, I would love to, but I don't know if I have the copyright to do that or not. I don't even know if it's a new enough song to fall under our copyright license. So I have to, it's my favorite song, though. So if you have never listened to Sunseed, Jesus Is My Friend, you probably should go look that video up and enjoy. You'll thank me. It's just Jesus Is My Friend. And I love the song. I love the song. It makes you smile. I really want suits and clothes like these people wear. If I come in and preach one day in them, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you, but it was great. One of my favorite things is there was this meme that goes around, Hannah, and you've probably seen it. It says, when your parents say, come on to church, it's cool. And they have this one guy, like, I don't know. It's kind of like he's in a suit and tie, which I don't mind. I love suits and ties. If I had more, I'd wear more. I would. I did have a good suit, and my dog ate the jacket. and so I don't get to wear that suit anymore. But they're like, I don't even know. They made up this song about the Bible, and they're playing hard rock hard rock guitar to it.
And, cringe. Cringe.
It's good. I could tell their heart behind it was pure.
Yeah, that's what we always have to fall back on. Is the heart pure?
Miss Mary said that I need to ask Miss Joey. I'm sorry, Joey. Mr. Joey about being. Let's see. What does she say? Being whipped on a four-wheeler one time by God. I'll have to ask that. I'll have to get that question. Brother Joey's going to be speaking tonight here at Bethel on, and then Brother Jacob McClure is going to be here next Wednesday night. And so awesome. I'm trying to get some different speakers here on Wednesday night some, and then I'll come back and teach for a couple weeks. And then we'll go back to kind of inviting people. I like to bring people in, or Joey's more in-house now, so. But I'm excited for him to be speaking tonight and see what God's going to use him to spring forth. I think he's going to speak a little bit on Elijah and who don't like Elijah. Joey says that my Sunseed, Jesus Is My Friend, kind of sounds like polka. I could see that. I like that. Remember, did y'all ever watch Family Matters before? Urkel?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's... there was Steve loved polka, and Steve's love for polka inspired me to love polka.
Oh my goodness.
And I really fell in love with polka for about 3 minutes, and it was a great episode, and then I never listened to it again. All right, let's see here. Where are we at here on announcements? We've got Man Up Ministries on the 27th at Radiant Church. I want to make sure we get this in there. This is circulating a lot tomorrow night at Crosspoint. Hannah, do you know what time of that is? Have you seen the...
I have not.
Let's see here. Tomorrow at Crosspoint, there is a community worship service where we're just going to worship the Lord together. Let me see here. Let me make sure I get the time right. I know it's tomorrow night.
Thursday at 5:30?
Yeah, Thursday at 5:30 at Crosspoint, which is right there in the middle of Litchfield. There's going to be a worship service. All are welcome to come and worship the Lord with him there. And it's going to be a great night of worship. So I think all that starts, Jacob said, at 5:30. Me and my wife are Lord willing. I used to always think that was crazy to say Lord willing, and now I say it all the time because you never know what's going to happen as you get older. The Lord willing, we're going to go and worship the Lord with the community. and excited for that. So, again, that is 5:30 tomorrow night at Cross Point right there on Southgate Mall in Litchfield, Kentucky. If you want to come out and worship the Lord, they're inviting you out for that. And then, of course, don't forget Man Up 27th, Radiant Church, 6:30 p.m. And then Coffee with Jesus in, is it Eastview or Westview, Hannah?
Oh, my goodness.
Westview.
There you go.
Westview.
At Mount Zion, right there at 4 o'clock p.m. Really Miss Megan Sasha is going to be there speaking.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be an awesome
4 p.m.
day.
All ladies, welcome. All ages. And the title is The God Who Sees Me. So we're really excited about Amen. That.
And then let me see here. We're planning our first steak with Jesus pretty soon. I don't know what it, that would be dangerous. Like you say steak with Jesus and you have everybody show up.
So, yeah, Mary and I were talking about that yesterday and we feel like that would be a good crossover event.
No.
For men and women both.
I mean, if you're going to have it catered by Cattlemen's, you know, that'd be expensive though.
I like the way people think. Maybe a
hey, let's not limit God. They might just want to donate.
Yeah.
That's true. You don't know how much steak Aaron eats, though.
I got the little steak last time.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. I got my regular one that when you cut it, it hits your belly off the plate.
Well, there's that tomahawk one. I want to get that for you. Just see if you could eat that whole thing.
Well, I probably couldn't eat the lava chocolate cake. See... I think Ethan, when we went Sunday, he said something like it would be impressive if I could eat my steak, appetizer, and a dessert. And so what did I do? I ate my appetizer, I ate my steak, and I ate my dessert. I ate it all.
How'd you feel when you left there, though?
Glorious. I started talking about ice cream on the way home.
Oh, my goodness.
He did.
And Ethan turned around and said, are you serious? I said, yes, sir, I am.
He's got a hole in his gut.
I said, yes, sir.
Where's the line between gluttonous and glorious? I don't know.
I mean, with Aaron, I don't even know if there is a full button there.
I can eat.
I mean, I didn't feel bad leaving. But I also, I had leftovers, but I made sure to save room for that lava chocolate cake.
Well, Hannah didn't feel bad till she got home and realized that she left her purse 50 minutes away at Cattleman's.
And then, yep, that's a part I left out of the story.
And then for the second time that evening, Ethan goes, are you serious?
That's correct. And the moment that he apologized was not until he realized that they could keep it for me until the next day and that we didn't have to drive back there.
You were going to interrupt his basketball, and that's some serious stuff.
No, it was serious. I mean, enemy was really attacking in that moment, and then the Lord, he redemed. He was going to make me drive up there by myself and take his car, and I was like, you're going to make me go all by myself back up there? And then he's like,
I would have sent Eliza with you.
Then he was like, fine. And then he gets in the car. And then I'm thankful because I got to go to Wilson Home that night. I wouldn't have been able to make it to Wilson Home if they wouldn't have kept my stuff and let him come get it the next day. So I was thankful it all worked out.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, let's see. I'll do one dad joke before we go to John chapter 7. What do you call a Bible character who just pulled into church? A parking lot. A lot that's parking, Jacob.
Oh, man.
Let's see here. Let me pull over to John chapter 7. We didn't get anything. I don't even know if we read the verses, did we? Because we started talking about something. Yeah, we did.
No, we read a few because I messed up that word. Or I didn't know how to say the word.
Which is Judea. So we know this, that after all these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that the disciples may also see the works that thou doest. So Jesus is smart. He's not walking around the dudes that want to kill him. He's not, for one, I think he realizes it's not his time yet. And he's still got things to do. And so he's there, but then he goes And he's going to Judea, that the disciples also see the works that he does. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. For if thou do these things, show thyself to the world. And so I actually kind of like this, because he's basically reminding us, like, what we do really isn't in secret. Even if we think it's in secret, mm-hmm. the Lord sees, for one thing.
Yeah.
Like, the Lord always sees, regardless. Mm-hmm. And if the Lord sees, then sooner or later, others start to see too. So mm-hmm. I think he's reminding them that, you know, don't do things in secret. Be open. But also I think too, if you want to, we can go really farther contextually what it's going. And he's saying, there's no man that doeth anything in secret. He himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up into the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. He's basically saying, I can't go up to the feast at this moment, because if I go up to the feast, I'm dying. My time has not yet come. He says, you guys are okay, basically. You guys are good. I'm not okay. And if I go up there, they're going to kill me, and it's not my time to die yet. Mm. And I think as Jesus already recognizing, though, his time is coming. Like, mm-hmm. people cannot say that Jesus did not know that he was going to die. He knew without a hesitation that he was going to die. And he even, I believe, knew kind of when he was going to die. Like, he knew the time, he knew the he mm-hmm. knew exactly when it was going to be his time, and he just knew right here it wasn't his time. And so there has been a plan, there always was a plan, and Jesus talked about the plan his whole life, his whole ministry, mm-hmm. is that there is a plan. This was never an accident, this was never coincidence. It didn't catch him off guard, it didn't catch God off guard, it didn't catch anybody. I mean Jesus didn't catch him. Like, he knew. Mm-hmm. And I think that's significant to always bring out, that there was a plan and that Jesus knew it.
Yeah. And I think that's true for our life, too. I mean, if he knew the plan for his life, then he knows the plan for our life. He's known us since before we were formed in our mother's womb. So, and, you know, just like Jeremiah 29:11, he knows the plans he has for us. I always look at Jesus's life and then I applying it to our life, that's very encouraging, because it takes the pressure off of us. Like, we don't have to know everything. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I bet that the fact that he did know so much as a human, like, that's weighty, the fact that he knew. He was able to anticipate that. And sometimes, you know, if we know all the pieces to the puzzle right in a single moment, sometimes it could get overwhelming for us. You know, but for him, he could carry it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it was still overwhelming, knowing when you're going to die.
Without a doubt, it would have been overwhelming. And I would say, even in the garden, it became prevalent of the overwhelming.
Yep.
Because he was like, Lord, if it be at all possible, let this cup pass from me.
Yep.
And that cup was really the cup of wrath, that cup of becoming the sin of the world, the cup of fulfilling the atonement. I think all of that is significant in that sense, is that he is feeling the weight of it, and that Jesus, we always got to remember, he walked on the earth as a man so that he could sympathize and empathize with our struggles, with our struggles. He knows what it's like to mm-hmm. be anxious. He knows what it's like to be, because it's you know, to have anxious thoughts is not a sin. It's to live and have let those anxious thoughts
anxiety.
To walk in it is a sin, and it says do not worry, but that's, I don't think that everybody's gonna have a worrisome thought,
mm-hmm.
but it's whenever you walk in that worry,
mm-hmm.
that you trust the what ifs more than you trust the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Jesus ever did that, but I think he probably had anxious thoughts. He probably had thoughts of maybe, like, well, he definitely had a betrayal, he had temptations come at him. I would say Jesus faced what we face,
mm-hmm.
and he overcame. And that's why he could say, I have overcome the world, therefore you overcome the world. Like, anything the world has to throw at him, he's already overcame. And he's telling us, if I overcame, I'm empowering you to overcome.
Amen.
And that's liberating. It's empowering. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. Unfortunately,
that verse has become just a, you know, something we put on tennis shoe or something we throw out there. But in reality, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is not saying that I can have my dream job or I can win the NBA championship or anything. It's that I can walk in the power of the Spirit. I can walk in what he's called me to walk in. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You can do nothing that he doesn't will you to do,
mm-hmm.
but you can do everything that he has in store for you if you walk in him.
Yeah, because it's through Christ, not I can do all things because it's through we have yeah. to abide in him, and Amen. It's through him that we do anything because he's working through us. And if he's working through us, then we're in his yeah. will.
I just hate how that verse has been manipulated and abused. And basically,
I know it.
Whatever I want to do, I can do because I can do all things through Christ. It's not at all. And I'm not for sure at the end of the day if God even cares who wins the Super Bowl. I don't know. I don't know what scripture that's in. And so,
I mean, I do believe the Lord puts people places, you know, to be a witness.
Sure.
And to reach a certain sphere of influence. But, you know, that's normally not going to be every single person on the
yeah.
team.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's like this. Two Christians have two different favorite teams and they're praying. Let my team win. Well, which team's going to be the one? The one God likes more?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't.
I still
I
believe
know.
I prayed Kentucky to a national championship. I'm sorry.
well, I think it's – I don't know. I just wish we wouldn't abuse that.
Yes, I think yeah. it – prayer has been abused in America, I think, and taken lightly because of things like that. It's almost like a lot of people have viewed God as a genie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're trying to speak our will instead of his.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, I know one group of people that's been known to bless racehorses and stuff like that.
Oh Lord!
They would actually go out there before horse races, and these clergy would literally bless the racehorse to win the race so that people could win money. That's like going up to the. I mean, that's like comparable to. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Christ strengthened me to win the lottery, and go up there and lay hands on the lottery thing and say, "Lord, show me which one that's going to be." Does he do that kind of stuff? I don't.
Didn't he turn tables upside down for stuff like that anyway?
I believe so. And I just think we have to be cautious of using his name as magical incantation mm-hmm. and expecting it just to come through. And I also don't want to commercialize things like I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But because he has overcome the world, what he's called us to overcome, we are more than capable because of who's in us mm-hmm. to overcome.
Yeah.
So there is no temptation that is bigger than who he is and bigger than who he is in us.
And if we seek first the kingdom, then we're not going to be seeking worldly kingdoms. If we seek first the kingdom, then all these things will be added. We're not seeking the things that are added before the kingdom. We were talking about this yesterday at prayer. Like, sometimes we have, like, expectations. Like, you know, we get a job or we come to church and we're like, well, like, I need this. Or, like, I want church family. And those things are good. Like, we need church family. But we can't seek the church family more than we're seeking the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We can't seek all the desires that we have, even if they're good desires. Because, I mean, having a family, if you never really grew up with a family, you have that need that was never met as a child. So you want a family, and that's a good thing. But when we start to seek that above seeking the Lord, that's when it kind of becomes out of balance. And that's why I think the seek ye first the kingdom verse is so crucial to our walk, is because when we seek him first, when we seek his kingdom, then he takes care of everything yeah. else. He adds it all to us.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, you know, him giving you the desires of your heart. And I think people have misused that for so long, and not saying that God does care that you're taken care of.
Yes.
I mean, he does care that. I mean, if your desire is, you know, I'd like to buy a new home, Lord. You know, show me how to go about doing this and what to do next and pray about it. And I think that those things are legit, you know, things that you needing or things that, and I even think sometimes your wants
are even taken care of from God, as long as they line up script, you know, line mm-hmm. up with the word. It's not something that's unholy. But I think when you start getting closer to God, Him granting the desires of your heart, I think your desires become His desires.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's exactly. when He starts beginning to move and starts to grant these desires, because it becomes, your heart is one with His heart. And because I think it's, that's the bridegroom and the bride exactly. coming together.
Yes. So. Amen.
It's great.
Amen. All righty. Well, I figured out what that, if y'all could hear a in the background, I finally figured out what it was. I was kept asking Jacob, is the door shut? I figured it out. I fixed it, so it should be gone away, guys. Praise Jesus, because that was bothering me. It was in my ear the whole time. I was like, oh, it's killing me. So it is, and I think once He starts aligning hearts together, though, and we start getting desires correctly, and really, I think what's beautiful is whenever we start to position ourselves and just say, Lord, it's no longer I who live, but You in me. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. no longer what I want. It's what You want. And yeah. people say, well, that's just, you know, you're not walking in it. You're not doing this. You know, you're wasting your, I mean, no, we're not. Like, you get to this point where you realize if I keep on trying to control everything, it never goes well.
Yep.
And I think this is what's happening with Jesus. I don't think Jesus is just sitting there going, I really want to go and die, but Jesus, God don't want me to, like anything like that. He's not like upset that the Lord's guiding him and the Father is positioning him correctly and the Spirit of God's leading him, because Jesus is doing stuff on earth as a man, not as God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's important to remember. He's doing stuff as a man. So the Lord's leading him and instructing him, don't go there yet or you're going to die. Well, if we would listen and be obedient, He'll tell us, hey, go right, not left. Go back, not forward. Go to Walmart first, as Josh Milburn talks about sometimes. Go to Walmart first before you go to the dump. Like, and you're going to find a guy there you've been thinking about who needs to hear about me. Like, you know, it's just, if we would listen, and I think what Jesus does so well in His ministry, even here in John chapter 7, is He listens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, He listens, and He mm-hmm. obeys. And those are two words that we don't like to do. We want to talk, and we want to be in charge. We don't want to listen, and we don't want to obey. And I find that quite often within our culture. It's just, it's anti who we are. And it's all, like I always say, is that I kind of jokingly say it, but I think there is some truth. It's like when people communicate or conversate, then it's not like you're listening to each other. You're just hearing enough so that you know what to say next. Because it's all revolving around what you're going to say. And I think that we have to do what I think James says. Be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger. And I think Jesus does that perfectly.
Mm. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we'll keep moving. We might get done with John 7 today. Who knows? But when His brethren were gone up, then went He also up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought Him at the feast and said, where is He? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning Him, for said, He is a good man. Others say, nay, but He deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of Him for fear of the Jews. So Jesus did go up, but I don't know, like, it doesn't really, it says to the point of, like, secretly. I don't know if He had, like, a disguise or something like that. Maybe He had a mustache put on, or I don't know what He did. I don't know how He goes secretly. I can't give you much background of that. I just, somehow He went up kind of secretly once everybody was up there, but everybody's afraid to talk about Him. Like, nobody's really talking about Jesus at this point. And He's already kind of stirred an uproar at the last chapter whenever He's talking about drinking my blood, eating my flesh. But He's doing miracles, He's doing signs, and He's got everybody in kind of a frenzy right here. And they're scared to talk about Him because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble.
Hmm.
And then in verse 14, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And so now he kind of makes Himself known. And I think He did it. I really do believe He finally goes up because it's the right time. And the Lord leads Him there. And because Jesus doesn't do anything he doesn't see his father do. And he doesn't do anything that he doesn't have his father tell him. So he did not go up with the brethren. He did not go with the disciples. He was not lying there. He really didn't go up at that moment. But then he kind of comes up by way of secrecy or undercover, kind of the spirit protecting him, spirit guiding him. And he ends up in the temple. Why does he end up in the temple? Because it's his father's house. And he's about the father's business. And when he's about the father's business, he has the father's protection. I love this, too, because he doesn't go up to the feast necessarily to feast. He goes up to the feast, and he goes to the temple, and he starts to teach. Wow, he's about his father's business. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man's letters, having never learned?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not my own, but this that's but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." So they say, "How do you even speak on these things, Jesus? You're not even learned." And he said, "It's the doctrine of him who sent me." Mm. We'll talk about that tomorrow more. We're going to have our first trivia question, our first break here this morning, and then we will continue forth with some Bible discussion. Wednesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. Who set up 12 stones to remind the people of God's power of bringing them across the Jordan? Who set up 12 stones to remind the people of God's power of bringing them across the Jordan? 270-257-2689. We're going to be right back here after the break with a little song that I love. I played it last week, and I'm playing it again today. Sister, play that tambourine. It's Kraft Family, Jacob. Kraft Family. I love it. There you go. Enjoy. We'll be right back here after the break. Sister, play that tambourine. Hallelujah. I love that song. Sister, play that tambourine. I do love that song. I don't know why I love that song so much. It's one of my favorites. Which everybody knows me. I'm a Crab family boy. Sorry. There you go. I killed that. Sorry. I was just thinking about the Crab family, and I used to think I could sing like Jason Crab. And so when you're in the car and you're singing with him and you're thinking, man, I sound pretty good. And then the music goes off and you're still singing and you're thinking, dear goodness.
You sound good when he's singing with you, right?
I sound great. It's when he stops singing and I keep singing that I realize just how bad I am. It's one time me and Jacob was singing together as a joke after church, and somebody came up to Jacob and they said, well, Jacob, you kind of sound like Jason Crab. And
yeah, right.
That's what they told him. I said, what do I sound like? He said, well, I don't know. You remember that, Jacob?
Yeah, I do.
He said, I don't know what you sound like. He kind of just walked away from the conversation.
That was the old small church beginnings, right?
That's
that
hilarious.
Was the littlest church I've ever been to.
Jacob does sing good. I'm trying to get him to join the worship team. But...
Sorry.
Y'all pray for Aaron.
I'm joking in here. goodness, that little church we used to meet in wasn't bigger than this. It was like these. Yeah, it's about these two roofs put together. But man, we had some good times in that little church.
We did.
had like what? I guess we probably had 20, 25 people come on the Sunday nights. And
yeah, I mean, but it was so.
It was awesome.
Intimate and awesome. Like there was times. I remember somebody saying it was so powerful in there. He said he thought his spirit had left his body.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't know if I was here or somewhere else. And that was one of the places that, honestly, it was probably the most real time that I was supposed to. We was worshiping, and I was going to go preach and teach. And I remember it was one of the two times in my life, maybe three. One of them was kind of iffy if I didn't want to, or if the Lord's was like just saying no, but it was one of the times the Lord basically said, if you touch that mic, it's going to be bad news for you. Like, he was just like, don't touch what I'm doing. And I was like, I think if I would have touched that mic, you might have just took me out. Like, I mean, it was such a holy moment that was happening. And the Lord's just like, don't touch this. And that was the day that,
I remember.
We looked at each other. We go, I don't even know if we were here.
That was probably, I've sung more at that church probably than I have anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, but it was so intimate. And it was such, you know, like, no matter how small the group was, we all were just tuned in. Like
hungry.
We were ready to see God move. And he met us there.
He did. It was beautiful. Well, we got an answer for the trivia question. Our first trivia question of this day. I'll read it again. Who set up 12 stones to remind the people of God's power of bringing them across the Jordan? It was Joshua, and Miss Megan Sosh got it right. It is from Joshua 4:7-8. So congratulations, Miss Megan, for getting your name in for this two-week drawing here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Amen. Well, we have some Bible discussion that we were going to have today. Got an answer, a question or two we're going to get to in a little while. But really, I know there's such a heart for prayer right now, and there's a heart to pursue, and there's a heart to seek. And I want to say this, that there is purpose behind praying. There's purpose behind seeking. It's not just coming in there and absentmindedly doing it. Now, sometimes that purpose is to soak, that purpose is to hear, that purpose sometimes is to petition. And like, Lord, we have a request and we need to let it be known. Sometimes that purpose is worshiping. I do want to say this, whatever we're doing in the seeking, or as Hannah was talking about earlier, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto us. There should be purpose and intentionality with it. Like, it's kind of like we talked during the share-a-thon, is when you sow a seed, it's never on accident. You are purposeful with it. And so if you're planning something, you have a purpose. Jesus' whole life was a purpose. His death was a purpose. His words were purposeful and intentional. His death was purposeful and intentional. It was no coincidence. Like, there was so many prophetic words exactly how he was going to die. And these prophetic words didn't happen moments before. We're talking 800,000, 900,000, even if you can go back into the garden and, you know, whenever the first mention of the gospel, he will bruise his heel, but the seed will crush the serpent's head, which was a mention of the gospel. And so I think that we have to understand that our life with the Father, walking in the Spirit, is never on accident. It's on purpose, and it's intentional. And and so, like, when you all went to prayer yesterday in the prayer meeting, there was probably some things you were praying about. There was intentionality. I just don't want us to ever just treat our walking with him like it's all just flippantly. Does that make sense? Like, we have discernment. We're being led by the Spirit, but also we should have some intentionality. And I always tell kids this, and y'all talk and interrupt whenever. I always tell this kids this when I was a youth pastor, is Christianity is something we'll never do on accident. Loving your neighbor is not something that's natural. Loving your enemy is not something that's natural. It's purposeful, and you got to be intentional. Forgiveness is not something we do on purpose. I mean, on accident. Like, no one ever says, that person really hurt me, I forgive you. Like, our natural instinct in a fallen world is to hold grudges, is to hold it. And so to walk in the Spirit, I want to say, is intentional. And so I think I'm just kind of, this is a thought that's really been on my heart in the last few days.
Yeah, I think, you know, coming and expecting the Lord to meet with you too, like coming and expecting to encounter him and bring your requests before him. But also something, you know, that I was praying yesterday is, Lord, like, you show me, like, Holy Spirit, show me what I need to pray for. Because sometimes we don't, sometimes our mind kind of gets crowded with things, and we really do need the Holy Spirit to lead us in what to pray. And something that was really big on my heart yesterday, and it ended up that it was on a lot of other people's hearts, were people who are hurting and broken and not telling anyone. Like, people who are hurting and broken that are hiding behind the mask and not really reaching out, or that nobody really knows is hurting or broken. And it ended up that, you know, there were so many different avenues to pray for that in so many different ways, in our communities and in specific people. And it was just awesome how the Holy Spirit, you know, took us in that direction, and then to see, like, how the prayer stemmed from that.
Yeah. But you were, so let's unpack this, because I have a thought let's push for our listeners this morning, for ourselves too. You were intentionally praying, and then when you intentionally prayed, the Lord directed you in what to pray. But you had to make the decision from 10 to 11, we're going to go over there and we are going to pray.
Yeah.
And I think that what we got to do is wake up in the morning and say to remind ourselves, today it's Christ who lives in me. Today I'm going to pray. Today I'm going to witness. Today I'm going to live for him. Today I'm going to forgive whenever it seems not possible. Today, by God's grace, I'm going to do this. I'm going to walk in this today. It's not within your own power, but it's intentional.
It's in his, yeah.
Well, it's kind of
like, it's a choice. It is a choice.
Yes.
The scripture, every day. Pray without ceasing. You know, there's things we got to do throughout the day sometimes that, you know, you can't just always just be talking to God, like, in with audibly, but you're always thinking of it. And it's a direct communion with the Father. And it's always constantly God, you know, it's like you're always aware of what is happening. You know, you're always aware, hey God, you know, I'm going down the road, Lord, just, you know, I'm thinking on those things, you know, like when I drive my truck, I'm not always talking or praying. I'm just thinking on him. And I believe that praying without ceasing sometimes is your inner parts of you are always in communion with the Father. And you're always continually, God, what to do next? So now, there's sometimes where our thoughts and we'll get away from that. Sometimes I believe, you know, I mean, we do sleep at night, but your spirit man never sleeps. So I believe that there's dreams, and I think there's an increase of that that's going to happen to people in these last days and visions. And I think that what we're getting at is you're intentionally in communion with the Father, And that's what really prayer is a gateway to heaven. It's a gateway to the Father, and we have access to that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even when your thoughts start to drift, and we're not talking about like, you know, we're not talking about like, my thoughts are who we was picking on like Super Bowl and stuff earlier. It's not an evil thought to say, I wonder who won the game. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about when you start to dwell on something that's unholy, something that's unrighteous, something that when you start to dwell on the unforgiveness, you start to dwell on the lust, you start to dwell on the anger, you start to dwell on the bitterness, you start to dwell on slandering or gossiping or just, I hate to say it like this because it's been such a abused thought pattern, the negative. Like, we you know, I don't want to, like, go in the sense of, like, you know, just smile and be kind, you know, but the negative things, the unholy things. I think that's why the Bible tells us to think on the things that are holy, on the things that are pure, the things that are righteous. And so when we start to feel ourselves to drift, we can remind ourselves, no, I'm walking in this. No, I'm going to walk in holy thoughts. I'm going to walk in righteous living. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And that's intentionality.
Yes. Like,
I don't want people to think that walking in the Spirit is something we accidentally fall into.
Mm-mm.
That's true.
No, it is a choice.
I mean, it's kind of like people walk in fear a lot, too. I mean, you could think about that. What are they choosing to walk in?
Yep.
You know, so, like, if you're always thinking, man, what's going to happen today? You know, this happened to me yesterday, so what's going to, you know, if you're always thinking on, like you said, that negativity, if you look out in the world, that's what most people are thinking. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know there's things that people go through, and there's times where you go through these long suffering, or maybe there's times that you just not, things are just not going right. But if you keep thinking on those things, I believe you almost attract those things. Mm-hmm. You know,
Well, you become what you behold. So if you are beholding something in your thought pattern all the time, then you will become that eventually. Whether you are, it's kind of like this. If you're trying to stop sinning by thinking about stop sinning, you'll always keep sinning.
That's true.
Because the only thing you're dwelling on is sin. So the only way to overcome sin is to behold holiness. And holiness is Jesus. So the way I overcome sin is not trying to overcome sin. It's about trying to be like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a natural result.
Exactly. Yes. It's a natural consequence, a natural result. It's honestly just a natural byproduct of if you're like Jesus, you're not like the enemy. Mm-hmm. And you walk in the kingdom of light, you stop walking in the kingdom of darkness. You don't make a habit.
Amen.
You don't make a practice of sinning.
One thing.
Go ahead. You're fine.
One thing that the Lord's been really working with me on is when the enemy throws a curveball at you, don't get to that place where you're just like, where it's just like it just knocks the breath
defeated
out of you. Yeah. You know, I'm like, you know, buddy, you throw the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you've tried to come in like a flood, but God's raising up the standard against you. So it's almost like you develop this, like, you can try to do this or this can happen, but, you know, what God has for me in the end is that what you meant for evil, God's going to turn to the good.
Yeah. It's kind of like the writer of It Is Well, and whenever his children and his wife, they both drowned, right?
Yeah.
And he sailed on the boat, and he stopped where they drowned, and he wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul, right there.
Mm.
Wow.
And
because I believe it's just like, no matter what happens around me, that I still love him and I still trust him.
And we still know he's working all things together for the good. When we don't understand it, we don't comprehend it.
It's kind of like Job, right? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I do think we have to, like, I love Megan Fortner. She was talking about, like, how to fight the fight of faith the right way. Like, how to get in the arena and not just get beat down. Like, how to get back up and start fighting. And just like you're saying, Jacob, I do think sometimes we need to just say out loud, like, spit the truth back out. That's something that Megan was talking about, is, like, fighting with the Word of God. Speaking it out loud and saying, enemy, that's a lie. The thought that just entered my mind is a lie, because the Word says this. The Word says that. And just, like, saying it, because sometimes just speaking it over your own life is, it's powerful to speak out into the right. air.
Yeah. And this all comes back to what I heard that one guy say, and I've said a lot since I heard it because it just rattled me, is that Christianity revolves around one word, and it's not necessarily love, it's trust. Mm. It's all about trust. And the reason I profess and proclaim scriptures in the midst of all those situations is I trust God's going to perform them, and I trust that they're true, and I trust that he loves me, and I trust that he's good, and I trust that he's going to give good gifts to his children because he's a good dad who loves his children. And so all of it revolves around trust. All of it revolves around, we're not going to sit back and take it, because we trust that when we stand up, God's going to stand up with us. Mm-hmm. And I think that in this all, it's, again, it's on purpose. Like I think sometimes we just think stuff's going to fall out of the sky, and it just never works Mm-mm. like that. Like, we have to walk in victory.
Mm-hmm.
All things have been given to us. Let's see. All things pertaining to life and godliness has already been given to us, according mm-hmm. to Peter. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the illustration we use quite often. For those at Bethel, you're going to think, I've heard this illustration 20 times, but it's a right illustration. If I give Jacob my truck, he has my truck, but until he takes keys, turns it on, and drives off, he doesn't take possession of the truck. So he has the truck, but he doesn't have possession of the truck until he takes the keys, turns the ignition on, and drives off. Same way with us. We have the peace. We have the overcoming. We have the victory. We have no temptation. We have all this, but we don't take possession of what Jesus died for us to have until we turn the keys and drive it by his grace.
You know, but another thing that I feel like the body of Christ needs to hear is, when you're going through something like this, or maybe there is some times where you're not, where you just feel defeated, we need each other. We weren't created to be people to be alone. I believe that you lift your brother up and you go to your brother, and don't beat down your brother if he's going through something. Go and lift him up and help him, exhort him, bring that that truth to him. And I think we've all been there where we needed that word from you know, your friend or who's in your boat. And mm-hmm. that's where I, you know, keep going, who is in our boat? And I said, Lord, I'm only going to encircle people in my boat that know the word and know who their God is, because at the end of the day, that we're when we're going forward and we're speaking life into people, that's where, you know, that brother over there who's down and out, and maybe there's things he's going through that we don't know, like you said, that the ones that are just, you know, maybe forgotten, like, go to them and ask God to, you know, we're the body of Christ. We can't do this as one person. We can't do this as two people. We need a body of believers
mm-hmm.
to be able to do what we need to do in the earth. And there's times where we have to pick each other up and say, mm-hmm. come on, let's go. You still got this. You got this, my brother. You got to keep fighting, like the mm-hmm. good, the, you know, fighting a good fight of faith. I mean, that is, but we do it together,
mm-hmm.
not just alone, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Good stuff. I want to read Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. So Paul is telling us here, I have been crucified with Christ. It's not even Monday. It's not even Monday. With Christ, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So he's telling us here, like, I have been crucified with him, but I'm still living.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because we've been crucified with Christ does not mean that I'm dead, because I'm still living. But it does mean this: and the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm sorry, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So Paul's saying, I have been crucified, yet I live, but it's not I who lives, but it's now Christ in me who lives.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so Aaron died with the crucifixion.
Amen.
Whenever I've been born again.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's Christ in me that lives. It's mm-hmm. Christ in me that lives. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me.
Mm-hmm.
This is totally contrary to what we teach in the modern day gospel.
Mm-hmm.
In the modern day gospel, this is what we teach. We teach this. Say the prayer. Your sins are going to be forgiven. You get to go to heaven, and he's going to equip you to do every single thing you really ever desire to do so that your life can be successful and you can be a powerful person in the world and get influence because of your successfulness. And this is what we teach. I mean, this is what churches are teaching. This is what major pastors are teaching. Everything revolves around you completing your purpose. All right. I think God has put us here for a purpose. I talked about this last Wednesday night. But my purpose is his purpose. Amen. It's no longer my I'm not worried about success. I'm not worried about it. Like, I know it's like I've had job offers that would pay a lot of money to go talk and joke around and, you know, basically just communicate with people, and that's what I would do. Like, I would teach seminars and teach these things. And for one, I'm thinking, have you ever heard me talk before? I mess up everything. But that's not, I'm not worried about success. Like, I don't care. I'll, honestly, at the end of the day, I don't care if you look at me and say Aaron's successful in an earthly manner or not. There's not one ounce of me that cares. What I do care about is, am I living for Christ? Is my heart beating for him? Does people see Christ in me?
Yeah.
Does people see me being a godly father, be godly husband? Does people see me being a godly pastor? Like, growing a big church does not interest me, but growing big people do.
That's good.
It don't bother me. Like, we can have a church of 3,000 people and never affect the earth. Or we could have a church of 3 people and change the world. It's all about growing people, not ministries.
Quality over quantity.
Yes. The cloud over the crowd.
I mean, you got your eye on the prize. And I always think that, you know, Jesus is our prized possession. And that, to me, is walking, like you said, success is in the eye of the beholder. So where does your success lie? In things of this earth or things of the kingdom? And, you know, you think about, there could be this woman down the road who you may think, or this man down the road who they may not have nothing, but they got more. I mean, if they're sold out to Jesus and they've seen God move, and that's where I'm like, you know, people want, oh, I want this fancy house, or I want this fancy car, or I want this and I want that, and I want this fancy. Oh, man, look at them. Those people got boats. And, you know, I'm not down boats or anything. But
I would just like a boat.
I'm just saying, you know, like, you look at it, keeping up with the Joneses.
I mean, 100%.
How many Americans are keeping up with the Joneses today? And I'm like, and I've heard this lady, she goes, you know, I ran into this lady at Walmart, and she said, you know, I just get tired. I'm working all the time, you know, and just get tired of having to work so much because, you know, we got this new car. And she goes, I don't know. And I said, you know what? I said, that new car is fine. I said, but where does your success lie? Is it in the things that you have? Or she's talking about her son. I said, what about pouring into him and what you could do in his? What, raising up a next generation that knows God and loves God? To me, that is more success than having keeping up with the Joneses, you know?
Amen.
So,
yeah. I was listening to this video about how the enemy attacks prophetic people. But one of the points in there was actually just a general statement of, like, just Christians in general in the body of Christ. And it was talking about how it's concerning that in the church today, especially in America, that Christians will almost come into alignment and partner up with anyone as long as they are offering them an opportunity. Like fame and celebrity culture and just getting opportunities for success have become almost the number one priority. And it's concerning because, you know, he was talking about how, like, you know, rarely he hears people saying, like, oh, I feel God leading me here. Like, God is putting me in this place. But rather it's, I just got this awesome opportunity. Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be able to do this. I'm going to be able to work with these people. It's going to take me to this opportunity. And I'm even going to get to sing or preach with this guy. Like, you know, and it's seeking the opportunity. It's seeking the rank. It's seeking them constantly moving up in the organization or in the society, but when does it start to become, I'm so excited because the Lord's been speaking to me and confirming that he's leading me here. Like, yeah. He's placing me in this church. He's placing me on this worship team. And I know that he's been confirming this and he's been showing me this. You know, it's bad because it's shifted right now to opportunity. And the thing is, like, it switched into talking about, you know, how the enemy goes to tempt Jesus and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Yeah. And I mean, it's the same thing. It's like, sure. Kingdoms he was talking about is what brings you glory. Like, glory comes along with kingdoms. So there's a worldly glory that even you can experience within ministry, mm-hmm. because there, if it's offering, you know, oh, well, you can achieve this, you can do this, you can do that. The enemy can still tempt us with things in ministry. Yeah. He can still offer, and people can offer things to us that really it's not the Lord. It's not from the Lord. Like, a preacher or a pastor, they can have good intentions when they're offering this opportunity to you. But if it's not what the Lord has planned for you, then really we shouldn't be saying yes to just any opportunity, even if we know and trust the character of the person offering it to us, because we have to be seeking the Lord's will mm-hmm. for our life. Mm-hmm. And that was just awesome, because that's kind of not what we're taught right now. Like, what we're taught right now is like, oh, well, you know, opportunities are really rare and far between to find. So when you get one, you know, you better take it. You better take an opportunity if you get it. But why are we not teaching, you know, why don't we go in intercession? Why don't we go in prayer and seek what the Lord has for our life and what he wants for his will for our life?
Yeah, I think we got to understand that everything that presents itself as seemingly good is not always godly.
Yes.
And the Satan never looks like the pitchfork and the horns and the tail. Actually, Satan is very attractive. Mm-hmm. He's an angel of light. Mm-hmm. He appears as an angel of light. He comes in there very compelling. He comes in there like the Bible talks about his ability to sing and his ability to attract people to himself. Like, attraction is not always just physical. Like, you can be attractive in the sense of compelling, mm-hmm. Charismatic. And that's what Satan did. He appealed to people. He attracted them. But then he manipulated. And mm-hmm.
Isn't that what caused him to fall in the first place? Was vanity? He was pride. Yeah. It says that he beheld the beauty of who he was, and he just got caught up in thinking he was himself. Better than God. Yeah.
We're going to take a break, read our second trivia question. It's my heartbreak. Got to take it. Wednesday question number two. In Revelation, what did the Spirit promise to the churches that would overcome? In Revelation, what did the Spirit promise to the churches that would overcome? 270-257-2689. You're going to like this old song here. Enjoy it here after our little legal ID, little song called Awesome God. Alrighty, we are back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. I did not hear the phone ringing, so we need to get the next break. I'm in the producing room for the next couple of days. Mariah's not with us, so during the next break, I will open that question back up. It's hard for me sometimes to answer while you're on the air. It's a little trickery there. I can't do that one. And so next break, we will open that back up for you all to get the opportunity to get your name in for this drawing for this two-week period. We want to welcome in all of our new listeners. I know we have new listeners, and I just want to welcome you all in and say how thankful we are that you're with us. If you ever want to engage or interact with the broadcast, text in your comments, put input, questions. Some mornings you get a lot of text messages, and some mornings you don't get a lot of text messages. But if you ever want to engage, 270-230-6337 is the best way to do that. Again, that's 270-230-6337 is the best way that you can get a hold of us here. That's my text machine number. And so get that in there, and we will be happy to engage with you on the broadcast. If you ever have a Bible question, we want to answer it for you. So many times, one listener said, so many times we try to solve our own problems without him, and we can really mess things up. We also wait until God is our last alternative. God will let us do things our way to show us just how much we really do need him. He always answers us and always loves us. Amen. But we love our comments. We love our listeners. And we want to thank you all so much for listening and putting up with us. Sometimes I realize we're not easy to put up with. and so I just appreciate you guys and honor you all. And I love it over the last few weeks, honestly. We've had several radio listeners who have showed up at church, and we just want to say, you know, we love you. We don't push Bethel a lot here. We want to be a community radio station, not a Bethel radio station. And our heart is for the body of Christ in total and totality and in the wholeness. And we want you all to walk in victory. We want to walk in victory.
Amen.
I don't want this whole walking in the Spirit thing to be something that's unattainable or something so spiritual that it has no earthly impact. And what I mean by that is sometimes we make walking in the Spirit floating from cloud to cloud in our cute little white dresses with our big old long blonde flowing hair playing harps. But walking in the Spirit is about walking in holiness. It's about walking in victory. It's about walking with the testimony. It's about walking and showing the world a glorious Jesus who loves them. It's about being like him. And walking in the Spirit is so much more than letting our eyes roll back in our head and falling on the floor. Mm-hmm. And all that is, I mean, my eyes have rolled back. I fell on the floor. Like, whoa, all right, it's fun. It's great. You get up and you're like, man, I love it. I love that. I love feeling God. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with having emotions. Mm-mm. I'm just never going to let my emotions be the dictator of my relationship with God. So whether I feel him or not, I know he's with me. Whether I feel his presence or not, I know he's there. Mm-hmm. What's that called? Trust. That's called walking in the Spirit. That's called living a life according to all godliness. And so I just don't want us to walk defeated, as Jacob was talking earlier. The enemy would love us to live by that. And I know I make so many people mad. I don't want to. I love you so much. If you only knew how much I love you. But I'm not a fan of that one part, and I'll fly away. Just a few more. It's, I don't know, I can do the Jason Crab thing. Just a few more weary days. How's that, Jacob? Is that good?
I don't know.
Oh, Jacob, come on now.
You want truth or you want me to be?
Well, we are people of the truth. But it's, we sometimes live by that motion and that notion or that statement of, we're just a few more weary days. All right. Well, our life is not supposed to be wearisome, because even in the trials and temptations, we're still live in joy. It's what James tells us. Mm-hmm. And last week, even whenever we was walking through what we were walking through with my wife and I, there was still joy in our hearts. There was still peace. There was still, I was not playing the victim card. I was not going to play the, The devil's winning. The devil's kicking our tail. Because you know what? At the end of the day, I knew he was going to have victory. Yeah. And I knew that all things are going to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I know what the enemy meant for evil. God will turn it around for his good. I know that we are the victorious bride of the living Christ. And I know that we're not going to sit down, shut up, and take a left hook every day of our life. And I'm not living just a few more weary moments of just getting by. You know, it's like... You remember that one song? You may sing this one too, Jake.
Which one?
It's Beulah Land. I love Beulah Land. Beulah Land. I love it. I'm pulling out old songs right now.
Well, you and Pastor Wayne Clemens have the same music taste.
See?
Y'all should get together and sing sometime.
I love Pastor Wayne. I love him. he used to sing that one song I always loved. There's a Light at the End of the Tunnel. You remember that one?
I think so. Yeah, I think I remember. He will sing sometimes.
All right. Anyways. And we sing those songs like Beulah Land. And I love Beulah Land. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm homesick for you. Okay? But we were not saved, born again, blood bought, filled with the Holy Ghost, just so we can solely anticipate going to heaven. Now, hear my words I just said. So that we could solely. Which basically I mean in this. We should anticipate going to heaven. It's going to be awesome. But we should also anticipate heaven to come to earth. And so I think that the enemy has convinced us to walk in wearisome, to walk in depression, to walk in heaviness, to walk in these things. And he is taking our testimony and we don't even realize it.
Mm. If
he can take your joy, he can take your testimony.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think we have to be cautious.
True.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm done preaching. Y'all go for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
This thought hit me. I know this is, I think we should have a vote to see Aaron do a little bit of a singing thing like Jason. He should be played like manner, but he wouldn't. Think of it is, I don't know if he would really care, you know, if.
Me?
Yeah. I think you
would
do it. What
song
do
you want me to
sing? Oh, yeah. He's bold enough to do it.
But at the same time, I'm like, man, I feel sorry for the listeners.
Jacob, this is coming from the person. How many karaoke's have we done together?
I know it. We
put on a show.
I mean.
Does it need to be today or does it need to be another day?
I don't know.
I think it might need to be when Jason's here.
Oh, I'll do it. I don't care a bit.
Or maybe they can do a duet.
Because you know, at the end of the day. I know I can't sing, and I'm proud of it. And I make a fool of myself all the time. Jason points out that I say words that's not even real words, but I say them, and I continue to say them because I always have.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was talking to David Hicks last night, and he was telling. I said, "Well, I wish the kids would hurry up before we could go home." He said, "It's not for we can go home; it's so you can go home." I said. No, it's four for me.
Four?
So four we can go home.
Probably saying before. Wait, I don't know how that would make sense.
It's four. Just country slang for me, I guess.
Oh, that's
I say mom and them, so.
Miss Gail says, that sounds like a good fundraiser. I'd pay. Josh Milburn said, no. But he said, I will make you sound good, though, Aaron. Josh, I must admit, somebody, I'm not saying who, Pastor Josh, may have sent me some other good pictures yesterday. There's one of, I got some blackmail pictures now. I don't know if I got some good stuff.
Maybe we just need to come up with a good song for them.
How about we do?
Hey, I'd love that.
How about this? Me, Pastor Josh, Jason Miller, and then we'll find a fourth. We'll do a quartet.
Oh, no.
Little barbershop quartet right
Please
there.
Please tell me, can you harmonize? That is the key factor.
I want to hear this harmonization. So.
What's harmony?
You can't be a quartet if you don't know what harmony is.
Who's going to be the bass? Who's going to be the tenor?
I'll be the bass.
No, I think
no. Aaron probably be like a baritone.
Looking for a city.
Yeah, you need to do that one. That y'all need to do that song, Looking for a City.
Oh my God.
I got the high part.
You could do like, I mean, I remember watching that video where what's her name? Vestal Goodman.
Yeah.
And the guy, I can't remember his name either, but they're going at it back and forth. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
And they're trying to see who can get higher. and they're get real high all the way up through it, and then she gets to this part, and basically he's doing it like, I'm like, how is he even getting that note? It's yeah. crazy. Yeah. You need to go back and watch it.
David Phelps can really hit some notes too. Dude can sing. Me and Josh is in the same boat. Hannah's like, she's hoping our harmony's right. And me and Josh is like, we can't even spell harmony.
We got to find a good song for a quartet.
Oh, my. I'm going to have to teach you guys.
We can rock this.
I think if I can teach my three younger brothers to harmonize, I could teach you all to
Maybe
harmonize.
We can add, like, Joey Sawson as our fourth, because he can do the opening thing of, you remember Hannah when we was in the sanctuary a few weeks ago? After the movie, and he said, "Ready, let's go."
Oh,
and
then he does
his—he did his toe touch. And so we could.
He's gonna be so mad.
We could do the. That's how we start the song. We let Josh do his "Ready, let's go" toe touch, and then we start into the quartet.
Maybe, I don't know about the toe touch. That might be a little overkill. But
oh, if we do a quartet song, it's overkill.
I mean, if we got a video on this, though, I mean, you can just. Audio it.
Me and Josh yeah. Milburn, we don't do anything halfway. If we're going to do it, we're investing ourselves.
Well, then you better be studying how to harmonize.
What? we got to learn how to spell harmony first.
Look, this is what you do. You go to the piano. Aaron can play piano, so you could help with this. You know, a chord at least will have three notes in it. Mm-hmm. Those three notes in the chord are the notes that you need to sing to harmonize. So one of you has to sing one, the other one has to sing the next one up, and then the next one up. So you can use the piano to kind of find your pitch.
Do re mi fa sol la ti do.
This is why you need the piano.
Yeah. Oh. All right, anyway, see, this is victory. This is victory. This is walking in joy. This is that God's for us and not against us. And whatever situation that you're facing, He will walk in harmony with you so that you can walk in victory. Amen.
That was
and
a nice.
We
nice
just got to find that spot within Him to where we harmonize with His beat. We harmonize with His frequency. We harmonize with His chord.
And, hey, that's a word, though. That's a word.
And so we have to walk with Him. It's just actually what I preach Sunday morning. We got to quit trying to make Him walk with our harmony, and we got to find His harmony, and we got to walk in.
Because our harmony is making people run the other way, and His harmony is gonna make
people
want to.
That's what this quartet may do.
I mean, our plan, our way of doing things. It's not gonna change people.
Yeah.
It's not going to bring transformation. It's not going to. It's going to make us stagnant and potentially other people stagnant. But His way, His will, His harmony. It's always better, always.
Always, and it's compelling. It's good to the ears. You know, one time I didn't realize that my mic was on in the sanctuary, and I was singing my little heart out, and Heather goes, "Aaron, quit, quit." Aaron, I can hear you. And I'm like, isn't it wonderful? And then I realized my mic was on. And that was not good.
That's happened a lot when you've left your head mic on when yeah, you're talking to
the
people.
The head mic's worse because you can't pull that away. Yeah. You're like, oh, I can't do it. Now, I did one time in the back. Is that what you're talking about? Whenever I'm in the back,
yeah, like when you're greeting or like hugging people as they're walking out.
And I've left my mic on,
yeah.
And I'm having all these conversations, and every one of them's going up in the speakers.
I'm just glad none of them have been too personal.
I've done that before. One time I walked over because we have like the sheer set that we have in the sanctuary is a digital set, and it's not a analog. So analogs. Different. It's just a different set, and so it's digital. So the reach is better. The signal's better. It's not affected, and so I was in the multi-purpose building, and I left my mic on, and I was talking to Justin in the multi-purpose building, and you could actually hear me in the sanctuary clear. So that's how much it picks up.
Oh wow!
And yes, I have heard of pastors using the restroom with their mics on. I've done this one, and so. it's not good. Jacob, what's the text mean? Fourth one.
For your quartet.
Oh, Josh Newton is my fourth. Josh Newton, can you sing?
I don't know.
We can have a what's five mean? Okay, so four is a quartet. A quintet. What's five?
Quintet.
I can't spell that either.
Group.
We're gonna have a choir. We're gonna have a choir, a men's choir one Sunday.
Now you could probably do a men's choir.
I could help you out with that.
That would be pretty cool.
If you were interested in doing a men's choir, we should do it.
Just one Sunday at church, we should do that.
Let's do it.
Please. I would love it.
I always wanted a choir. I always
would love us to get a whole gospel choir. Yeah, men, yeah. Women. I mean, I was in choir my whole life.
We are not having a gospel choir unless we got the robes. If we have a gospel choir, we're having the robes too. I try to get Tim and they'll let me to preach in a robe one day. I wanted like one of those cool preaching robes that they wore.
Yeah.
A little sash on them and everything and little bling in there. And I could preach. And I said, you can even put me up in a little corner on a balcony up there on the side, you know, because I got to wear the robes and stand in the balcony in the corner and get to talk. It'd be cool. A little change.
I'm just thinking of Kirk Franklin, you know, when he had his choir and Now Behold the Lamb song. Oh, man, that was amazing. How they took that choir and that song, and then you had your people who would step forward and sing.
Do I get to step forward?
We'll let Hannah be that dishonor, you know, if we're going to do it. If we're going
to
go all
in. I need to be a step forwarder. Is that what it's called?
Honestly, the choir might draw people in that are too scared or like to sing by themselves right now. Yeah. And then they can sing with a lot of other people.
All I can say is if you're a man out there and you are afraid to do that, I challenge you to get in this choir that we're going to do. I'm down for it.
I seriously want this to happen.
You think about it. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be worshiping. We're going to be singing, so we better get used to
it. All right. Mary said she's volunteering Joey to do it.
In the choir?
Yep.
All right. Well, Tim Milmer's usually got his radio on in the shop as he's working. So, Tim, are you going to join the choir? Josh is going to join the choir. Oh, we got to get Uncle Justin in the choir.
Definitely Justin.
Uncle Justin definitely got to be in the choir. And then it could be like a special non-Sunday day. So any of our listeners, any men that want to come and join the men's choir, we're going to have a men's choir night one night. It's going to be a revival service. It's going to be awesome. We are all going to wear barbershop suits and top hats, and I'm just kidding. That's too far. It's robes. It's going to be awesome.
No, I think we need this on Sunday.
Is there a potluck afterwards?
Sure. Could this be the steak we're talking about?
Hey, hold on. If we could turn this into a homecoming, Josh Milburn can preach. Jason Miller can be a step outer. Todd Mingus can have the this could be my first one I book for them. My first one I get to book for them.
Y'all are playing, but I'm being serious. I want this to happen.
I'm not playing. I don't want to do a choir.
I'm playfully seriously. Tim says heavenly choir. It would be a heavenly choir.
See?
Oh, my goodness. This is too much. How do we get here? I don't even know how we get here. I was preaching on overcoming, and you all just got us into this men singing thingy. and so we're here, and I don't know how to segue us out of here.
Hey, well, we need to experience heaven now, and it's going to be happening in heaven. No matter if you can sing good or not, you'll be singing to the Lord.
Me and Pastor Josh, we're like kindred spirits, and I'm going to be honest with, and he would vouch, and he would say yay and yay here if he was in the studio, is if me and Josh are in the choir, we really don't know if there's anything heavenly about it.
But all the other voices will drown out whatever.
Have you heard how loud we are?
That's why you all don't have mics. It's the voices. It's a cappella.
We don't need mics.
We will put you all on the outside. Look, this is what you do. You put the voices that are stronger and like on point in the middle, and then you put the ones that are not so strong on the outside.
One listener said, "If I begin, if I sing on the air, I can get us out of this."
Who said it?
And we just kept going further. Oh, now we're going to have a men's choir, and we're going to pass court.
They're like, yeah. There's some men that are scared right now.
So how many do you really need in a choir?
Oh. So Mary said, tell Aaron to make it happen, and I will cook steak tips and bring it.
Oh, my goodness, Aaron. What?
Do re mi fa sol la ti do. I'm warming up.
You need to start doing
And
your
she's
voice
volunteering
exercises.
Her, the men in her family. She's volunteering.
Tim, you better be warming up with those pipes if we're going to get some steak tips. I'll bring the baked potatoes.
Oh, yeah. So
Actually, oh, yes, all right, please. All right. In all seriousness, I'll quit joking around for a minute. Too much joy in the house. I think it'd be cool to have one Sunday a men's choir. Like, they don't have to have mics. We don't want mics.
No, but it should. A true choir should be a cappella.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we could do it. Just one Sunday.
We could sing, "Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus won."
Yeah, brother. All right. Anyways, hallelujah. We're segueing. I don't know how we're segueing. We're just cutting it off.
Do we have a speaker?
We don't have a guest today. They ran away screaming. And so, but God is good. We have some listeners who's definitely laughing.
We had to have a good laugh. But actually, we started off laughing yesterday too with Josh.
Well, look, it is the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
And we should be joyful.
Mary, I'm sorry. I have to keep it going at least until the break. What do we have? 2 minutes.
All right.
Mary said we can put Jacob in the middle.
Jacob's in the middle. You're anchoring.
I'll try.
Jacob. This is the unfair thing, though, is Jacob can actually sing.
I know.
That's the unfair thing.
Hey, Ethan prayed, or I don't know if he actually prayed, but he was like, you think God would like give me a better voice if I prayed? And I was like, I think he would. I mean, if it was a true desire of your heart. And I'm kidding you not, the more that he's been singing, he sounds better than he did when he said that. I'm not kidding.
I've seen people do that. I've seen people ask
it's not working.
He's probably gonna text me and be like, I don't know about that. But seriously, I've heard him improve, so.
Joey says we will need a lot of practice if you want me to. He has no timing. Look, here's a bad thing.
We can get a metronome.
Yeah, I can play music. I can play drums. I can play guitar. I can play piano. I can play bass. No, I don't do anything well. I just do it all okay. But I can do all that, and I can all be on time. But if you put me singing, Heather says two things about my singing. For one, I can't sing the right words. And two, I never sing on time. And the third one is I sing in keys yet to be existed by men. I don't know what it is about singing, but yet I prayed with an earnest in my heart, like, Lord, let me sing, because if I could sing, I could sing the sermon almost. Like, yeah. I could be like a Kevin Wallace.
That's
like,
what I was going to say. You're going to be like,
get me a little B3 organ behind me. Give me my preaching robe. Give me the, I mean, we could have a blast.
Maybe, you know, the Lord wants to keep you humble.
It's nothing about humbleness. It's all about fun.
So you sing in the key of Z? Is that what you
sing? I sing in the key of why did I ever open my mouth? It's the key of why.
Oh,
and,
man, that's good.
It's just.
Well, you know, I think if the Spirit took over and you have a bunch of voices that are singing the right thing, I believe that you could sing with them.
I will say this. I think if you would concentrate, you could do it.
Heather said that if I wouldn't try to be Jason Crabb when I sing, I could probably sing.
Yeah, I mean,
what fun is it if you can't do it?
No, we're taking this on a serious note when we come back.
Uh-oh. I don't know what to do with that. I got to segue back into spirituality somehow. All right, well, we're going to take a break here, come back here after Lion here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All righty, we are back here. Had a couple of people call in on that question. Still haven't got it right. Miss Megan said, Emery said he's playing my favorite song, Lion of Judah. Oh, so little Emery, she's so sweet. She come into me Sunday, and she just says, hey, I got a staple in my head. And she sounded so innocent about it. I said, do you want me to put a staple in your dad's head so you can match? She goes, no. I offered. I mean, we thought we could be kind and generous and share. All right. So we got to move into spiritual things. Hannah said she wanted to be serious for a minute, though. What was your seriousness?
Yeah, I'm serious about this men's choir. I think I'm serious. I think that there's some guys out there that have some giftings and they've never had the opportunity. They've never had a place to worship the Lord, and maybe they don't feel confident.
Maybe we could do like a one song men choir on a Sunday morning. Like yeah. A one song. We'll try it. But I am not doing it if Uncle Justin don't do it. All right. That's all I'm saying.
Why'd you put that on there like that?
I'm just kidding. Okay, here we go. If it's a one song, one time special, I will do it.
All right. Now, I don't know. I think it could become,
but
we could do a trial.
Now, this is important, though, is that we couldn't do it till between worship and preaching because Jacob's not there yet. If we do it at offering, he won't be there.
Now, if you do biscuits and gravy that morning or, you know, whatever.
Everybody shows up early for church.
We might be able to get Josh Durkee to come help. He could
help us. Well, Josh sings kind of higher, though.
No, he don't.
He sings like an A flat and stuff. He sings higher.
Well, how low do you want us to go?
Well, he can sing high, and you all can do the low harmonies.
Yeah.
Whoa. She uses all those big words again. Harmony and low and all these kind
we'll
of things.
We'll talk more after the broadcast.
How low?
Things are in the works. All right. To be announced.
It's going to be that bass sound, Aaron.
I don't know how to segue. I don't even know how to go into something more spiritual.
Maybe it's the joy of the Lord. Maybe we need to talk about the joy of the Lord.
Well, I tried to, and y'all got me into the singing stuff.
Well, it is
joyful. Well, and freedom. You know, people, I'm ready for people we never thought would be singing to start singing and dancing in the house. Not for a show, but just out of freedom, because we never know. There could be some deep worshipers out there that have never felt free to worship the way the Lord wants them to.
Well, maybe deep worshipers, but I don't know how much talent you're finding.
Hey, that doesn't matter.
Well, the imperfections of what we think is imperfections, and when we come together, because we're going to be singing in heaven, Aaron. We're going to be, I mean, it's just going to be a joyous time. So why not here, right?
I guess so.
I'll see Heather's face right now. I'd love if she knew.
She's working. She don't know none of this is going on. She's going to come in there one day. Hey, we're going to have a men's choir one Sunday morning on one song. She goes, what?
They're going to be like, who let Hannah on the radio?
I'm not for sure how I feel about this yet, unless I get to wear a robe.
I mean, you did get someone say steak tips. Come on, Aaron.
That's true.
Mary said, yes, Jacob.
All right. Anyways, here we go. How do I segue? I got to find a segue out of this some way because that's good radio. Help. I don't know. Help me. Help me, Lord.
That's where our help comes from.
Now, in all honesty, we did get back to earlier whenever we opened up the whole broadcast, like for in the discussion part. About being purposeful about our Christianity and walking with the Spirit of the Lord and walking in the Lord and walking in the power of the Lord and how we do need to wake up every day and remind ourselves exactly who we are in Christ, because that old man, he's dead. Like, he's dead. The problem is he keeps on wanting to get up out of the grave. And if we're not careful, it's like this. He will slowly, like everything that happens contrary to our walking in the Spirit never happens quickly. It usually happens 99% of the time. I'll say it like this. I'll say it never. I won't say it nevers, but never does. But 90, I don't know who makes up statistics, so I'm just going to make them up with them. 95% of the time, it's a slow fade. It's a slow reintroduction. like for those who struggled with certain addictions or something like this, when they're free from those addictions, those who fall back into the addictions never fall quickly. It's like, well, why don't you do this? Well, that's not too bad. That's not really that. So, well, they do that, and then they do something else, and before long, they're head over heels right back into the addiction or the stronghold, and it happened because it was enticed with one small thing and then another small thing. But if we are purposeful, we attack even the small things. And like Hannah, you were saying with Miss Megan Monday when she was on here, we've got to make proclamations. We've got to stand on truth. We got to fight. And how do we fight? With Scripture. So when the enemy comes in with something, well, I cast down that imagination. I cast down that thought. I rebuke that thought. I take it into captivity of Jesus. So if it's not submitted to Jesus, it's not submitted to me. And we start to do it on purpose.
I think I was thinking of this earlier. The one person that we can just have full-on sass with is the devil. We can channel all of our sass into speaking to the devil because, I mean, we hate evil. Mm-hmm. We are called to hate evil. We're not called to hate. There's nothing else that we're called to hate other than evil. And it does provoke a righteous anger. It provokes, you know, just an anger, but not like an anger that overtakes you, but an anger for not wanting that evil.
Yeah.
Not wanting, you know, hating the schemes of the enemy.
It brings out a little war room moment.
Yes. A warrior.
And in that war room moment, when she's sitting here and she's praying in her house, and then she goes in, she goes outside, and then she goes inside, and then she opens up that door. And one more thing, you know?
Yes, seriously, though. You know, that movie is very, very, I encourage anyone who favorites. Has not watched War Room to watch it, because it does. It gives examples of how to fight the enemy, and I love that scene.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, because we always got to remember, he has no power over us except for the power we give him.
Mm. Yep.
I mean, that's it. And the power that we give him, we do that by walking with the things he entices us with.
Yep.
That's the power. If we resist the devil, the Bible says, in James, it says, resist the devil and what?
He will flee
from you. Mm-hmm. Our problem is we don't resist him. And when we don't resist him, then we start to walk with him. And when we start to walk with him, now things have an oppression over us. And then that starts to vex our soul. Mm-hmm. And I think spiritual warfare never starts with yelling at demons in our own personal life. Spiritual warfare starts in our own life, resisting the devil. And so when things come upon us, it's not because of the enemy's powerful or the Holy Spirit's not powerful. That's not it. It's because we didn't resist in the first place. And so when we're born again, we are set free. That old man is dead. All things have become new. Our problem is that enticing, that temptation, that invitation comes, and instead of us putting the enemy in his proper place under our feet, we do not resist, but we entertain. We never fully go straight back into covenant. What we do is we start to entertain. We start to play around. We start to, as my grandpa would call it, working in the yard, piddle around. And then before long, our entertaining, our thinking, our poking around, it gets a bigger grip and a bigger grip. And that's whenever, if we don't fill the house, we leave it empty, he'll come back seven times stronger.
And then when he knows that he can't come at us anymore, that we have our doors closed, that we're resisting him, then he starts to move on people around us that we love. And we can start to see spiritually how he's attacking other people. And that's when a lot of times we have to go into intercession for these people that we see are being attacked by the enemy. And that's where the spiritual warfare comes in. Because sometimes people are down and they're weak. And when they're in the middle of it, I know I've been here before, when you're defeated and when people we know of that are defeated, they need us to stand in the gap for them. They need us to be in war for them in the spirit.
Well, it's kind of like, I mean, I've heard a preacher say, if Satan can't get you to fall into blatant sin, he'll infect you with our own spirit. And I was like, that's good, because a lot of times a lot of times I've seen men deliver truth behind the pulpit before, not talking about Aaron, but just other places that I've been to, that I've seen them preach truth, but they have the wrong spirit and it don't come off very well. And it's like they're doing it out of just spiteful. And I'm like, dude, you had the right word, but you had the wrong spirit about you.
Yeah.
And I think that's how the enemy works sometimes. He's like, well, I can't get them to do this, so I'm going to make them, you know, come out wrong.
Well, that's one thing I always tell young people, that's, you know, if they feel called to preach. And they're like, hey, help me, you know. And I'm like, well, the first thing you need to learn, and this is almost one of the first things, is the first thing is we preach truth. That is the first thing. But the second thing is how you say it is just as important as what you say, because if you say it in the wrong spirit, wrong way, they won't hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go in there angry to a pulpit, they'll put up mechanisms to protect themselves.
Yep.
And what you got to do, and I love this about like people like David Wilkerson, who said a lot of really hard things. He said it in tears.
True.
And people would hear it because he wasn't mad.
Passionate about
he
one.
Was passionate. And
loving
and, exactly, and he was doing it for our sake.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing it because he was angry.
Mm.
And people will hear a lot of truth if you say it with the right attitude and the right spirit. And
that's
and so I think it's, I mean, it's a really true statement. And we only do that when we realize that what we're doing is we're intentional about how we're saying it, what we're saying. And this is why I believe James tells us to be slow to speak and quick to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we're quick to speak, like I've heard preachers say this all the time, and I said it. And I'll be honest, I've said it in my ignorance until I feel like the Holy Spirit showed us, is that, well, I just have no filter, and if it's in my head, I'm going to say it because the Holy Spirit's in me. And I've heard preachers say that, and I think it's very dangerous. I think you need a Holy Ghost filter.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you feel like sometimes, like, we need empathy? Like, even when we're speaking truth.
But not emphatic, because I was saying emphatic.
But I mean, just like, if you don't have that empathy to put yourself, hey, they might be struggling with this because this happened to them, you know? So I'm going to speak truth to them, but I'm not going to sit there from, like you said, just beating it over their head with a stick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's get it inside the heart and in the mind. Let's let it sink in, because we know where you're coming from. We know your hurt. We know your pain, but God is bigger than that. We have truth to tell you how to overcome. So you it's almost infiltrating things, and it's kind of like a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you're speaking truth and they're not a sponge, they're not going to take it if they're hardened, you know, like a rock. So, I mean, we need to, it's almost kind of like we need them to be tenderized for they can soak up what the Lord is saying.
But this isn't just behind pulpits. This is whenever we approach somebody at Walmart. It's whenever we talk to our waitresses.
This is in our walk.
Amen.
Every day.
All the time.
And this is why, like, and honestly, the fruit of the Spirit is a result of the Spirit of God living in us, unless walking in a submitted lifestyle to Him.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
But that submitted lifestyle is not something that always comes naturally. Sometimes we have to submit ourselves. If we have to resist the devil proactively, then we have to proactively also submit ourselves. Because there's going to be mornings that we'll pick on Hannah. She's outnumbered in here. There's going to be morning that Hannah wakes up in the morning. She don't want to walk in the Spirit. She may not want to pray that day. Like, she's like, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. And those are the moments we remind ourselves. We stir up the gifting that's inside of us. We stir up what God's given us. And we remind ourselves. Timothy was told by Paul to stir up the gifting that was given to him by the laying on of hands. Why would he have to stir it up? It's a gifting that he has.
True.
Because sometimes those things become heavy. There's things around us. There's situations. There's fatigue. You know, there's going to be, like, you know, we pray on Saturday nights. It's, you know, Jacob wasn't there last Saturday night. I'm not saying why he wasn't there Saturday night. I'm just saying he wasn't there Saturday night. All right. He had a, and I understand he went somewhere with his son, spending time with his kiddos. Like, I'm not holding him down for not being there Saturday night. He had plans, and I understand that. But there's going to be some Saturday nights that he's like, you know what? I'm tired, and I just want to sit on the couch. Okay. Well, in those moments, he has two options. He either stirs up the giftings, he stirs up the passion, he stirs up, like, I know my body is tired, but my spirit is willing.
Amen.
And so in this moment, I'm stirring myself up to do what I know God's called us to do. And I'm not saying that everybody has to be there on Saturday nights. We've opened up Tuesday morning prayer. We've opened up other sessions of prayer.
So we have Saturday morning.
And we have, there's Saturday mornings at Miss Doyle. Like, we're having all these areas for prayer because we believe prayer is the foundation of whatever thing we're doing. And plus, prayer is the thing that actually will change things.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give a quick testimony of what, you know, about prayer. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
I guess so.
Okay.
We don't talk about prayer much, so you better make it quick.
But no, I mean, just when I first started getting deeper into prayer, it was first when I came to Bethel. And I seen some of these intercessor ladies, and basically they took me under their wing for a while. I didn't understand a whole lot. You know, I was raised up, you know, when everybody prays, it's like all these people surrounding you just pray, and it's just what comes to you. But the more I learned about it, the more I, you know, learned from these ladies. Like there was, I mean, it was like the Keepers of the Flame changed, was one of the things that changed my life, you know, being part of the Keepers of the Flame. That was, you know, Linda Willoughby, who was here for a while as our intercessor, and Charlotte, you know, they taught me how to pray. And I'm so thankful for that, because in those moments when I was praying, God was downloading things inside of me, and I didn't know it. I mean, I really literally did not know, because there would be times I'm like, where did I hear that from? How did I remember that? How did I know that? And the Lord reminded me, he says, in those times when you were praying and you were thanking and seeking me, you developed this thing. I mean, it's almost like a computer. God begins to start downloading things in you, and he'll bring it to the surface when it's needed. But now I believe that's the direct gateway. Is prayer is the direct gateway to heaven, mm-hmm. to bring heaven on earth. It's like the open door, the open heavens. And I think that when I begin to pray, and over the years I wasn't good at it. You know, when I first started, you know, like people are like, "What do you mean good at it?" But I didn't exactly know what I was doing, mm-hmm. but I kept going at it and seeking God, and it became so much of a lifestyle that it became who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And like I know people probably got tired of me going to the altar all the time, because I mean I was constantly at the altar praying, just, and I still am. You know, people's like, "What is he going up there praying? What's he praying for?" And I never, my thing is, my biggest prayer is, Lord, let these people hear and see you more than they have ever known you,
mm-hmm.
to get that, Lord, birth something in this place. Mm-hmm. And it's almost become, it crosses from prayer to intercession.
Yes.
And then I think that they're two different things, because intercession, you're interceding for people.
Mm-hmm.
You're interceding for other people all across, not just even your local body, but across into the nations and the cities. And I think that prayer becomes who you are.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, and that constant communion with the Father. And I think that's why Jesus, a lot of times, like we was talking about, he had to get away, mm-hmm. in the wilderness. He had to get away because it was that communion he wanted with the Father. He had to receive things. He had to hear things. He had to hear more clearly. And I think in prayer, you do it.
Yes.
It basically unclogs things.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets you, like, when you're praying and seeking God, I mean, continually, and even, you know, you don't have to do it at church, but I think it helps when you're with believers and with your others, because, you know, you learn things and you hear things and they teach you things that they know, and how it grows you.
When two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst.
That's right. And I think that, but in just overall, I just wanted to tell any listener out there, you know, just go to your prayer closet again, just like War Room. Write some stuff down, like things that, mm-hmm. scriptures that you want to pray. Pray the scriptures. I've done that so many times, and I think I even had brought a friend of mine with me that goes to church here, and I won't say no names, but I brought him with me one night, and I began to pray, and the scriptures, and I started getting like really loud, and like, I'm like, it was about, you know, resist the devil, he shall flee, and we're going after God's kingdom, and God's kingdom, and I started getting really, and he said, "You scared me." And he said, "I've never seen you like that." And I said, "Well, there was just this boldness," and I believe through prayer, it begins to build your faith.
Yeah.
It makes you bold in areas that you maybe are weak in, and I think just over the years, you start developing so much, I guess, a sense of
spiritual authority.
Yeah, spiritual authority, And then you can speak it over people. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have a problem. I'll pray with anybody. You know, some people are like, I'm kind of scared to lay hands on somebody and pray over them. Or maybe they just don't think they have the words to say. But when you begin to develop that lifestyle of prayer, it comes so natural. It's like, you know, walking every day. It's mm-hmm. just easy.
Yeah. And so something I love about intercession is, and the Lord has shown me, is intercessors are birthing things in the spirit,
mm-hmm.
new things. Like it's like the Lord is like downloading things into, and a lot of times a lot of people will say, and this is how I feel when I'm interceding in intercession, is I feel it in my gut. Like I feel it in my stomach. And there's been times when, you know, I feel just a touch in my stomach, just an urgency. We call it like an urgency, just down deep in my soul. And you know, when I'm praying, it's like, it really is. Sometimes you will feel what other people are feeling in the room as you're praying or in the world. And it's weighty. It really is. And that's why I think that's part of those birthing pains, the groanings of the Holy Spirit, the birthing pains. And then I believe through intercession that is how the Lord births things out into the world, births things in the spiritual. And it's a beautiful thing. And if you really think about it, you know, there are certain intercessors who, you know, and I've experienced this, but there's different, you know, prayer ways of praying, and like the wailing, the cry that comes out. And there's something about that it, if you think about it, it does sound like, you know, a woman in labor, you know, the cry, the travailing. Yes. And these things will come, you know, and that's why I do like to, I think prayer has been minimized, but we've also confused prayer and intercession. Where we haven't like distinguished the two. And I think intercession is an amazing thing. And I think an easy way to understand it is standing in the gap. That's what I was always taught. Like if there's a gap that needs to be connected, if there's a divide, because sin, you know, it separates us from the Father. So we as intercessors are walking and standing in that gap with prayer. And I think it's just a beautiful thing, because it's like connecting, you know, us with the Father, that gap.
I mean, it's like He's always interceding for us.
Yes. And that's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
He stood in the gap he bridged the gap for us. So we do what he did.
I think that's a big deal, because if Jesus is interceding for us, we need to be interceding for others too.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're that's our heart, is that we become Christ.
Yeah.
We become Christ-like, and we become like he is. We become one with the Father, and we become one like Jesus. And I think that's where I feel like we're heading to. And I believe that's why so many people, I believe, are being called to prayer. It's a deeper level, but not just prayer, to go through into intercession.
Yes. And amen.
I think that's where we're headed. So.
Amen. Well, we are excited to keep seeing what the Lord's going to do. And it's been awesome to have you here with us today, Jacob. And
yes. Amen. Well, we are out of time. Been a good day. I don't know how I feel about the men's choir yet. I'm praying about it, seeking the face. We'll see how this goes. We got to do all things by prayer and fasting, so we'll go with that in Jesus' name. All right, we love you guys. We'll be back tomorrow, same time here, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on the Box 2 Radio Network.